Hello and welcome to Massage Therapy Radio. I'm your host, Don Dillon, and tonight's seminar is Attract and Retain More Business. This seminar is part of a 12-week series called 12 Weeks to a Better Massage Business. Our guest tonight is Eric Brown. Eric is the director of BodyworkBiz.com, one of the busiest massage therapy sites on the web. He has taught thousands of massage therapists and body workers how to attract clients or patients to build their businesses. Eric, it's great to have you on the show tonight.
It's great to be here. I think we're going to have some fun tonight.
Yeah. Now, Eric, I have to tell you that our listeners don't know this, but you and I had a conversation yesterday talking about the show and how it might go. And I had expressed that I wanted to make sure that our show didn't sound like just a bunch of tactics. You know, there's so many self-help books on the, in the bookstores, 5 ways to do this, 7 ways to do that. And something, a point you brought up yesterday was that there are some foundational ways of looking at things. It's not just the things that we do, but it's how we think. And I wonder if you would be willing to share a little bit with our listeners tonight about what you were telling me yesterday about how a business really is separate from providing treatment, how we have to get our minds around that. Would you mind explaining that a bit?
Yeah, there's a number of paradigms we can explore. And you know, I think this is an important point here, is that we can implement strategies and techniques or tactics related to marketing to increase our business. And when we implement these, we'll definitely see some increases in our business. If we take some action, something's going to change, and we're going to see some increases. But when we change our thinking, when we change the way we think about our practice, when we change our paradigm, that's when the really big growth spurts can happen. That's when things can really turn around, and changing the way you think about things in general, in your general approach to your business, really can have the biggest impact on your business. So I think it would be great if we can spend part of the call tonight. You know, you have quite an agenda for us here. We could probably talk for days with the broad agenda you've set out for us. But maybe we can talk about a few of those paradigms. And at the beginning of the call, and maybe we can look at more specific tactics on the second half of the call and answer. I know we have quite a few questions coming in here, answer some specific questions for people.
I think that would be a very valuable way to spend the program.
Now, one myth that I want to dispel right away at the beginning of this call is that it takes years to build a practice. And I just want to just address that right off the bat. And it's unfortunate that this myth perpetuates itself, because there's too many therapists, and you know, you've went through the research very thoroughly on last week's call, and I'd encourage listeners to go back and listen to the replay. You know, because too many therapists are doing too poorly in their business financially, and it's affecting their life and their lifestyle. You know, they don't have the freedom to do the things they want. They can't do the things they want with their families because they don't have the financial means to do it. So, you know, it is important that your business is successful, and don't cling to the myth that it takes years to build a practice. You can get your practice up and running quickly, and if your practice is not doing well right now, you can turn things around very fast and start making it a strong source of income for yourself so that you can be comfortable and have freedom to do the kinds of things that you want to do. Now, one of the things that we talked about, Don, previously, is that a lot of therapists think that if you just do great work, if you do a great massage, you have a business. And
that's
the reality
true.
You know what? It's not, surprisingly. As much as we'd like to believe that, you know, it's just not the reality. And for all the listeners, I know you like this book, Don. It's called The E-Myth, or The E-Myth Revisited. It's the revised edition.
Yeah.
I would suggest that all listeners here on tonight's call pick up that book. It's called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and take a look at that, because that's a book I think might change your paradigm or the way you think about your business.
Actually, Eric, if I could just interject, he actually has a sub-book for physicians, because we all think of physicians as being healthcare providers who make a lot of money, but apparently even doctors have issues because they don't have proper systems in place. So I would recommend, in addition to the e-myth, the sub-book that's specifically geared toward physicians would also be an excellent guide.
Okay, that's great. I haven't read it yet, but I will definitely put that on my my to-do list. And the essentially what Michael Gerber says in his book, and it's very easy to read, it's very entertaining, is that we have three roles really in our business. And part of the role is service provider providing the product. And that's the tradesman part of our job. But we also have to play the role of managing our business and making sure it runs smoothly. So things from, making sure that our rooms are clean, that we have sheets, that our accounting is in place. And then a third role being the entrepreneur, the person that has to attract clients, has to be creative, has to go out there and sell and bring in business. And each of those roles are equally important. So it's really important to recognize that. And so one way I like to think about it is this. If we think about our business and the business processes, really every business has three main processes, or at least this is the way I'm going to think about it right now, is really you need to have a product. You need to have a vehicle to promote your product, or else nobody's going to hear about it. Nothing's going to happen. No one's going to buy. So you really don't have a business. So you need to have a good product. You need to promote that product or get the word out there. And then the third aspect of that is delivering the product, or in our case, delivering the service. Okay, so that's customer service, essentially. Now, in my workshops, I ask people to evaluate these three dimensions of their business. And I'll ask the people that are on the line right now to evaluate themselves on these three levels. How many people here on the call do a really lousy massage? People can't stand your massage. Probably, if we could actually open up the phone lines and get people to respond, probably nobody would say that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're most people have very adequate training and can do a great massage. So really the product is fine in most cases. Let's take a look at the delivery of that product or the customer service. How many people on the line here would say that they have really lousy customer service, that they don't take care of their clients. They don't really care about their clients. They don't pay attention to those aspects of interaction with their clients. Now, actually, I have had people in the workshop put up their hand. I love that people are so honest sometimes. But for the most part, I think people on the line will agree that that's not an issue. We care about our clients. And we take good care of them. We offer excellent customer service. So if our practices aren't doing well, then the only dimension of our business that could be problematic here, if you said yes, that both of those dimensions are good, then the only one that's problematic is the promoting part of it, the getting the word out there and getting people to buy your services. That's marketing and sales. So really that's the weakness in most people's practices. But unfortunately, so it's important you recognize that everybody recognizes that element of it, that dimension, and works on those skills, work on your weaknesses, because that's where you're going to see the biggest gains. But unfortunately, when a lot of therapists don't do well in their practice, they think, if only I knew how to do Thai massage, or if only I knew cranial sacral, that would attract a lot of people, or if only I knew this technique. And they see techniques or improving their hands-on skills as being the magic bullet. But really, that's their strength already. So anything they add to that dimension, they're really not going to see any significant change. They're going to see some small incremental change, as they attract people with a new modality. But really, that's not the place to go if you really want to see changes in your practice. If you want to see changes in your practice, you need to see yourself or your practice as a business, and you really need to work on the marketing elements in your practice.
You know, Eric, I really like what you're describing here because it causes a therapist to step back from the table and realize that it's not just the service they're providing. They're all supplementary or ancillary parts to building a business, promoting and administering, that they also have to look at, or just providing care all day, they won't have anybody coming in to provide care to. It's not enough to have good technique. You have to be able to examine your business as critically as you examine the way you provide care as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody's had the experience where, you know, you see a therapist that's down the street or in your community, and they're doing so much better than you. Excuse me. You know that you do better massage than them. You know that you take better care of your clients, but they're getting all the business. Like, why is that? You know. And this is the reason why, and this is an area that has to be addressed if therapists want to do better in their practices.
Excellent point.
Another change in thinking that has to take place is the idea of investing in that element or that dimension of your business. You have to invest in your business if you want to see a return. And most therapists, again, I'm generalizing here, but most therapists think that if you just hang your shingle, you know, that cliche, if you hang your shingle, that people are going to step through your door. And that's not the case. You need to invest. And it's like life. If you want to retire comfortably, you got to put something away. You got to invest if you want to see some return. So I would highly encourage people here to think about, first of all, investing in their marketing education. If they're having troubles in their business, then they definitely need to look at educating themselves and finding some techniques and strategies that they can implement. And secondly, they need to invest some money in the marketing element of their practice. And if they don't do that, then things are not going to happen. Now, you can make two kinds of investment. I should emphasize this for people on the phone that say, you know what, I don't have any money. And a lot of people, therapists, are in that situation, especially new graduates. They come out of school. They're in debt and, really don't have a lot of cash. Or even practicing therapists. We know that their incomes are low, you know, given the statistics you gave us last week. So they don't have a lot of money to invest. So what do you do? Well, there's two things you can invest. You can either invest money, and if you don't have the money, then you can invest time. Okay, so you can either invest time in marketing your practice or money, one or the other, but you have to make some kind of investment. And what I hear a lot is you know, people say, oh, it's so expensive. To do a Yellow Pages ad cost me $100. That's so expensive. And we really need to change that paradigm of thinking of things as cheap or affordable or expensive. The new paradigm we have to adopt is, what is our return on investment? Okay, when we put in, if I bought, let's say, for example, some stocks, and I bought the stock for, $10, but it gave me, let's say, a 1% return per year. So I made 10 cents at the end of the year. Is that a good return on investment? No, that's a lousy return on investment. So my money was wasted. On the other hand, if I buy a stock that's $1,000, it seems expensive, but it returns $10,000 at the end of the year, then that's an excellent return on investment. So I can't think in terms of cheap or expensive. I need to think in terms of what gets me the best return on my money. So if an ad, let's say a therapist thinks $100 for an ad is expensive, but it brings me, let's say, four clients who spend $500 over their buying lifetime, which comes to $2,000 if I do the math right, my $100 is investment has made me $2,000. So that's like a 2,000% return on investment.
Better than the stock.
Like you just. Yeah, so you're your own stock market, really. You're investing in your business. In the stock market, you're investing in someone else's business, and you're getting a tiny return of, 5%, 10%, if it's good. Here, when you invest in your own business, You know, you can make returns of literally hundreds of percentage points or thousands of percentage points.
And Eric, it sounds like you're telling people to really critically examine not just do marketing, but the way they market it. I imagine that people write to you about trying something like Yellow Pages or some other promotional item, and they try it once and it doesn't work. It's kind of like a shotgun approach to marketing. But it sounds to me like you're saying you really have to, before you jump into marketing, critically examine what kind of what your return on investment is going to be for applying that particular tactic.
Yeah, and that should determine, that should be the base of all decisions you make. You know, if it costs you $3,000 to put together a website, you know, again, don't think is that expensive. Think, you know, what's my return going to be on that over time? You know, it's really that really has to be the base of all decisions you make. And if a $500 ad has a high return on investment of 500 or 1,000%, then you want to buy as many of those $500 ads as humanly possible. The more you spend, the more you'll make, essentially. But you bring up another interesting point, too, is, you know, people say, you know, I've tried that and it doesn't work, and they stop. And this is an issue of, I think, really being afraid to fail. It's being afraid that things won't work. And especially, you know, when you don't have a lot of money or time to begin with to invest, you know, it's scary putting it out there and risking it. But again, here's another paradigm change we have to make. We can't see these things as a failure. Imagine that you're treating somebody in your clinic and they come in to see you for a pain problem. And you do your massage, you do your treatment, and after the massage, they really don't feel all that different. What's your attitude? Is it like what you're mentioning here with the marketing? Is it, oh, you know, this massage just doesn't work. This really sucks. I'll never do massage again. You know, what was I thinking in even doing this as a career? You know, that's not what we do. You know, we're trained, you know, for people especially that are trained in rehab, you know, you use what we would typically call a problem-solving approach to treatment. You know, you wouldn't say, oh, this massage doesn't work. You'd go through a critical process of analyzing the treatment process. And really, if we were to look at the steps of that just briefly, so what I'm saying is essentially treat your business like you would a client. And when we treat our client, there's, you know, in this problem-solving approach, there's really four steps that we go through. When we see a client, what we do is we take a case history and we assess them. We find out where they are, what the state of their body is, and where they want to be. The next thing we do is we develop a plan of care. So we take, you know, where they're presenting problem, look at their goals, and decide what kind of treatment we're going to do. You know, how much massage are we going to do to what areas, how long, what different modalities we're going to bring. Are we going to use some hydrotherapy? Are we going to introduce some self-care? So we develop a plan of action. The next thing we do is we implement that. So we get them on the table. We do our stuff. We work our magic. And then after the treatment, what we do is reevaluate. We take a look at them. We take them through their range of motion. If they have a specific injury, evaluate their pain level after the treatment and determine whether what we did was effective or not. Now, if they still have the pain after, then what we need to do is we need to go back and look through those four steps to see what went wrong. Maybe we didn't assess properly. Maybe we didn't understand exactly what their condition was to begin with, or maybe where they wanted to be, our goals were unrealistic. Maybe it was our plan of care. Maybe we made a wrong plan. We should have did things differently. Or maybe it was the implementation. Maybe we didn't perform the techniques that we had set aside in our plan. So we need to reassess this kind of way, and then what we do is next time they're in, we adapt or we change our treatment according to what we've evaluated, And over time, this is a self-correcting process. We check their response again at the end of that next treatment, and it's either better or worse. And based on that feedback, we change it again. And eventually, they're going to get better. And we need to use exactly the same kind of process in our businesses. We need to, first of all, assess our business. We need to see exactly where we are, what are our resources, and then where do we want to go? What do we want to get from our business? Then we need to put a plan of action in. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, because it's one that we can all relate to.
Yeah. And we're assessing our businesses the same way as we're assessing our clients or patients and figuring out how to get them better.
And going through that process, so it might be our plan is wrong, or it might be the way that we've implemented our plan is wrong. Maybe it all has to do with implementation. But in any case, you know, nothing is a failure. You can't see at the very least when something goes wrong, it's a learning experience, and it allows you to adapt your approach and make things better. And so don't be afraid of things not working out when you're doing your marketing, when you're marketing your business. Again, just go through these processes like we would with a client. It's very systematic, and it's a self-correcting process, and over time, you're going to be successful. You can't help but make things work if you use that same kind of system that you use with your client.
Excellent advice. Eric, we're about two-thirds into our program, and we've got a number of questions. I wonder if we could start fielding some of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got one here from Sharon from New York. She says that so many clients express interest and then never follow through. I have offered to contact them in X amount of time, and they usually express interest but say they don't have time or money right now. How can I either change my expectations or change something else to empower them towards self-care? Any thoughts about what Sharon could do?
Yes, absolutely. And Don, you're a wealth of knowledge too. So feel free to share your ideas on these questions too.
Sure. We'll both take a stab at it.
Yeah, absolutely. So in my mind, really, our clients have come to us and have entrusted us with their care. They've given us that privilege and that responsibility. So it's really up to us to think of ourselves as a guardian of their care and always doing what's best for them. And part of that is making sure that they follow through with the treatment they need. Now, I know a lot of therapists aren't all that comfortable sort of taking charge in this kind of way. But your clients have really granted you the authority to do that by coming to see you, and they expect it. So really, you need to take control. So don't leave follow-through to your client. Take responsibility for it. And what that means is that when they it all starts, there's all, so many levels to this. When they get a treatment, it starts with educating them in terms of what exactly their problem is, setting realistic expectations in terms of what they need to do or what treatment would be required to resolve their issues, and also educate them on the importance of taking a proactive stance for their health too. But really, you need to set, and this is what we would call just creating a treatment plan for them. So you basically sit down at the end of the treatment, and you can say, based on my evaluation and what I found, this is what you need to resolve this problem. You need to come and see me twice a week for half an hour for at least 3 weeks. And then what we can do after that point in time is reevaluate, see how far you've come along, and then we may be able to decrease the treatment frequency. But it's really important, if you want to see a result realistically, that you come in twice each week.
So we're really setting up an expectation that it's not going to be a one-shot deal, that you've come to see me with a problem, and this is the plan of how we're going to address your problem. So,
exactly.
So automatically the person will come back.
Yeah, and it's setting those expectations. It's like a dentist. I really hate going to the dentist. But they take the responsibility to call me up every 6 months. I don't know why 6 months is the magic number, but it seems to be the magic number. I would never take initiative to call them and set aside a time for a checkup or to have my the teeth cleaned, because it's just not a pleasant experience for them. Bad childhood memories. But they call me every 6 months, and that's the expectation they've set up in my mind, and that they've probably set up in the whole world's mind. You know, that you need to come in every 6 months for a checkup. So they call me, and I come in. That's the expectation that was set. Now, when I go in to see my dentist, he doesn't say, well, there's some things going on with your teeth. You know, you may or may not want to get them fixed. You know, we could do X-rays, maybe not. You know, they're not wishy-washy like that. They say, let's take X-rays, let's evaluate the problem. Well, here's what I see. I see like three cavities starting, in these teeth. Well, hopefully not three cavities. I see a cavity developing in this tooth back here. We really need to get you back in here next week, and we'll clean that up and take care of it right away before it becomes a problem.
Experience for you, Eric. your past experience.
I wonder
if I can throw something in here about this question, something that comes really clear through Sharon's question about, she says they don't have the time or they don't have the money. And I think that one mistake we make as massage therapists is that we tend to be kinesthetic types. And we feel how our body's moving, and we feel through our hands the changes that we're making in a person's body. And we're assuming that they're getting that too. But in a society, and you just did a show for Massage Therapy Radio, talked about massage in schools to help children develop more of a kinesthetic awareness. People are walking around as blunt instruments. They're not really kinesthetically aware. They leave the massage saying, "Oh yeah, I feel relaxed. My pain feels better," but the therapist didn't tell me to come back. I guess that's the best or all they could do for me. And I think what your earlier point about educating the person as to what the problem is, and then how these symptoms have come about, and using metaphors and models and charts as a ways of explaining what our findings are, and then saying to them, okay, this is what we're going to need, this is how many treatments we're going to need, this is the frequency we're going to need so that we can address your problem. I get the sense that a lot of therapists think, well, I did a really good massage, so naturally they're going to come back. We need to help them along, don't we? We need to help set up expectations and treatment plans so that we can help solve their problem, because it's really not about money, is it? When people say, I don't have enough money for treatment, they're really saying, I don't know if you can help me. I don't know if there's value to this. So we have to show that value by expressing our expertise, by showing them that we understand what their problem is, and that we can help them with that problem.
Yeah, absolutely, and it really is in my mind anyway, an issue of authority. You know, they've granted us the authority to take care of them, and we need to take charge of that. You know, you don't see it when you see a specialist for a problem you have, a medical specialist. You want to hear the recommendations. You want to hear them tell you, what's going on with you and what you need to do about it. How serious is it? What action is required? And chances are, when you get that information from them, you're going to follow through on it. And I think massage therapists have a hard time, for whatever reasons, taking that position of authority that's been granted to them. Mm-hmm. But you're another point you've made too, which is excellent, Don, is that the money thing is typically not an issue. It's most often used as sort of a smokescreen. It's easier to say, I really don't have the money, than it is to say, I really don't appreciate the full value of your work and what you can do for me. So really it is a smokescreen. And the way to handle that one is to simply say, if this massage didn't cost you anything, if this massage was free, would you come in for regular treatment? Or if it was affordable, if it was cheap enough that it was affordable, Would you see the value in this? Would you come in for regular treatment? Hmm. And if they say yes, then you have a place to work from. And then you know it's it could possibly be a money issue, and then you can address the money issue with them directly. Maybe you can create a dentist would, a payment plan, so they can pay off their treatment that they need right now, over a period of time. So maybe you can finance them. Maybe you can decrease your price to a price that they can afford, granted or given the condition that they book the all the treatments that they need to resolve the problem. There's ways that you can handle the money issue, but first of all, you need to determine whether it's a smokescreen or whether it really is a legitimate issue. So just going back to more practical strategies here, in terms of getting those clients to rebook, you need to take responsibility. So get them booked before they leave. Get them in the appointment book. Get them to make a commitment. Because, it doesn't matter how well-intentioned you are, how much you see the value in massage and want to do it, the reality of life is that, we get home, we have to take the kids here and there, there's work, we have these social engagements we have to attend, and unfortunately, our bodies and massage, it gets pushed to the back of our mind until we forget it, and, when was the last time that people on the call have had a massage? We're well-intentioned. We appreciate the value of our own work, but, it tends to get pushed to the background because there's too many other things that are priorities. So you have to get people to make a commitment. If they say, I don't know what my schedule is, then set up something tentatively. Say, it's going to be difficult to connect with you later. Be honest, I know you're going to be busy. You have a busy life. This is going to be pushed to the back. Let's set up something tentatively now while I have you right here in front of me. And if you need to cancel it, then we can do that. You just need to give me a call and we can cancel it or rearrange. But while I have you here, let's at least get something booked tentatively for you.
Very good point.
And when you do book somebody, book them for the full range of treatments they need. Don't just book their next treatment. If you've recommended a series of four treatments, then book all four treatments in. Or better yet, if they're coming in for wellness care, is just program them, get them into a program where they're coming in at exactly the same time every week, and just give them that slot as a standing slot for themselves. They'll say, I'm just going to book out every Thursday afternoon at 4:00 from now until eternity. For you, so you always have that spot that's convenient for you, and I'm just going to keep that spot for you each week unless I hear differently from you.
I think you raise an excellent point as well, Eric, is that if you build that relationship up front, as you mentioned, if they come every month or every week at that certain time, if we were to look at the lifetime value of that person coming in, instead of always going out and getting more business, always trying to find new people, if we can offer our wide range of services, as you suggest, to individuals serve more of their needs, we could build a practice a lot faster, couldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's more than, Sharon is great because she's paying attention to the fact that she needs to retain clients, which is an important element of increasing your income. Because if you're trying to fill a tub and it's unplugged, it's going to take a long time. So you need to put the plug in and stop clients from leaving you. Retain as much as you can, as many clients as you can, while attracting new ones.
Good metaphor, Eric. Wonder if we're just actually creeping over time here, and we do have.
I thought we had a whole hour.
I'm sorry.
We had a whole hour to play with.
Maybe we'll convince people to stay on. Let's take a little bit more time. There's a few more questions I'd like to get to here. And before we get to the next question, you have a particular product that helps therapists to build their practices. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, we've had some questions that you sent me where people are wondering how they can build their practice quickly. They're just out of school, and they need to get going. and what's the best way to do that. And the strategy that I recommend for people that really want to ramp things up, that really want to increase their business at a very quick rate, is what I call the give-to-get strategy. And this is you'd recognize this in all kinds of other industries in other forms, but you really don't see it used extensively in the massage industry. And it's good to take strategies that are used in other industries successfully and just apply them to our own industry, because they are different. They haven't been seen before. And when you do things like everyone else does them, you're going to get the same result. And unfortunately, that result, as we've seen from the statistics last week, is not very good. So this is a different kind of strategy, and sometimes people are a little skeptical and sort of gets people's backs up a little bit. But essentially, you'll recognize this as the sample lady at the grocery store. This is a give to get strategy.
I love that.
Or as a like a book club or a record club. I don't even know if they have record clubs anymore. A book club where you buy, four books for a dollar, and then you need to buy so many books afterwards. What these programs do is essentially is they give people a taste of your product. And the people that are going to take advantage of this, obviously, are the people that have an affinity to it, the people that are most likely to use it on an ongoing basis. You're not going to join a book club unless you really like reading. So it gives people, these strategies give people a chance to try out your service or your product at very low risk, and the chances are that a large percentage of them are going to continue buying over time. In the case of the sample lady, she gives them out a sample. She gives out lots of samples, and a certain percentage of people are going to enjoy that. And again, they're not going to eat the sample unless it's something they're interested in. They're going to enjoy it, and they're going to go and buy the product. Or in the book club case, a certain number of people are going to try the book, and a certain percentage are going to convert into ongoing buyers. So what I suggest with the give-to-get strategy is give people a sample of your massage. And there's one of the best-selling e-courses at Bodywork Biz is the 60 Clients in 60 Days, and that's really our goal in that program is to get therapists 60 new clients in 60 days. And it's very achievable, and you can go on the site to read people's results. I have a few pages there of testimonials and comments, and it's very possible to do. So, again, I wanted to dispel that myth that you have to take a long time to build your practice. It doesn't. You just need to do the right things and focus on marketing and marketing the right way. So essentially, the strategy is this. Give them a sample of your massage. And what I would suggest, or what I suggest in the program, is to give them a half-hour massage. Now, how do you make money doing that? That's a lot of people think, you're giving too much away, especially when you don't have a lot to begin with. But what I would suggest is there's a way to do this and there's a way not to do it. And the way to do it is to give away half-hour massages, not hour massages, because you just want to give them a sample, and give everyone that tries your sample the option to upgrade to a full hour for an additional fee, let's say for $30 more. Now, we know that from testing that about 80% of the people that are given that upgrade offer are going to take advantage of it. So I might have to do some math in my head here. So if I see 10 people, if I give 10 people samples and 80% of them upgrade, that's $240 I've made to massage 10 people. So I've really made $24 an hour for giving away free massage. So that's the first way I can monetize this. The second way is that, again, a percentage of these people are going to be they're using your certificate because they have an affinity to massage. They like it. Otherwise, they wouldn't use it. And because they have such a high affinity, you're going to see a relatively high conversion rate if you ask these people to rebook additional appointments. We might see it can depend on your skills in terms of rebooking and, again, having authority when people come in. But you could probably expect anyway, even if you're new at these skills, probably a 30% conversion. So 30% of these people, at the very least, will come in for ongoing treatments. And you could see that go up probably as high as 60% once you develop your skills in terms of setting up treatment schedules and rebooking people. Now, even if people don't come in for treatment themselves, you've introduced your service to all kinds of people that can be advocates, that can be referral sources. And so we can utilize the people in that way, whether they continue to buy from us or not. Because even though they may not want, even though they may not see the value of massage themselves, or they may not be able to afford it, they may see the value for their friends and family, and refer them in. And I'm big on gift certificates too. So, all these people, even though they may not buy massage for themselves, certainly may be candidates to buy gift certificates, and especially for special occasions like Christmas in particular, Mother's Day and Father's Day, or other big holiday gift certificate sales days, Valentine's Day. So there's a whole number of ways you can.
So I was going to say it's a lot less fattening than chocolates on Valentine's Day.
Yes. It's a great way to position it.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of ways you can monetize your free massages. So even giving away free massages, you're making money on the front end, that's initially, and then you're making money on what I call the back end, or all the repeat sales. The thing you have to think about this too, again, a lot of people have resistance to giving away their massage. Is think in terms of, this is another paradigm thing, is in terms of your, I'm going to call it, to give it a fancy name, a client acquisition cost. Is what, basically, when you get new clients, you buy new clients. If I put out an ad that costs me $100 and it brings me in two new clients, then I've essentially paid $50 for each of those clients. Okay, so that's my client acquisition cost. And this is an important number that everybody should know in their practice and should be tracking. We heard your statistics from last week from these various surveys, and I think we could probably generalize to say that it doesn't matter what country you're in, Canada, the States, surveys typically show that the average therapist income is $20,000 a year. And really that works out to $10 an hour, which is not very much. So by giving away a half hour of my time, it's really costing me just $5. So we can think of it that way. So my client acquisition cost is only $5 to get a new person in the door and expose them to my services firsthand in a very powerful way. And you just can't do that with any other kind of marketing or advertising strategy.
When
so,
you're talking about return on investment, I mean, that person, if you're successful in getting them to come back 6, 8, 10 times a year, I mean, that's a tremendous return on that short half hour a free massage that you gave.
Exactly. So you've been listening to me, Don.
Yes.
You got the return on investment thing down. Exactly. This is it. We need to think in terms of return on investment. And in this case, it's a very small investment, and the potential for a return is absolutely huge. And if you track your numbers, which I lead, none of this is guesswork. I don't want to leave anything up to guesswork. I want to make sure things work. An important part of this is tracking the numbers. And I we'll have you do that. And if you take the 60 clients in 60 days program, I'll provide you with the tracking forms, tell you exactly how to track your numbers and to measure your progress to make sure that this is actually a strategy that's working for you. And if it's not, again, it's like our treatment approach, our problem-solving approach to treating your client. If it's not working, then you'll drop it. But in my experience, and again, if you take a look at the experience of the hundreds of people who have taken the course and the comments on the website, and I think there's the button on the broadcast page that people can click to go directly to that program, you'll see that it's an incredible return on your investment. So if people want to build their practice quickly, use the give to get strategy.
Excellent summary of just one tactic that would generate so much income and so much business. Let's, Eric, I want to give an opportunity. You had very graciously offered today to be giving away one program of the 60 clients in 60 days. I wonder if we could hold that draw right now so that our listeners have a chance to send in their answer, and then we'll take one more question from the field before we wrap things up today.
Sure.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to have a look at your broadcast page. That's the one that if you're on the website, you're looking at that right now. And so I have to bring mine up. And you'll see the button that says, just down to your right, a large button that says 60 clients in 60 days. I'd like you to click on that button. That will take you to the Body Work Biz website. If you look down, you'll see in bright red, it says 60 clients in 60 days. And if you look down just a little bit further, there are 4 points under you should read this announcement if. There are 4 points. I would like you to look at the 4th point on that page, and if you could type in what it says there. So going to the 60 clients in 60 days page, coming down to you should read this announcement if, there are 4 points with bright red check marks. The 4th point, if you can type that in, if you can send that in on the Q&A box on your broadcast page, send it in to us. The first correct response will be awarded the 60 clients in 60 days package. So we'll give people some time to do that now. And Eric,
please include your email address when you click the submit, before you click the submit button, so I know who to send it to.
Yes, the software doesn't allow us to track that. So if you could please send your contact information, that would be very helpful. Now, Eric, while we're waiting for those responses, I wonder if we could field another common question. And this was from an individual who is looking at getting their practice up and running. It's from Sarah Welch from Fredericton. And she says, as a massage therapy student who will soon be graduating, I am anxious to learn how to get my sport/therapeutic massage company's clientele to grow as quickly as possible. Do you have any specific advice for sport massage and our recent grads entering into the entrepreneurial world? That was Sarah Welch from Fredericton.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. In this case, what I would suggest, Sarah, is that you use the give to get strategy. But what you'll do is you'll do it with a twist, is you'll target your specific market that you want to become an expert in, that you want to attract clients in. So determine exactly if you want to do sports massage, what kind of athletes you want to target. And then look for people that are related to that kind of athlete. So this is a simple example. Let's say you want to work with runners. Then go to some of the running clubs or some of the running stores and arrange with a running store for them to give away a half-hour gift certificate, massage gift certificate, with the purchase of a pair of running shoes. Okay, it doesn't. You don't have to charge the running store for this. They just are distributing it for you, and in distributing it, really, they're giving their implied endorsement that you are an excellent therapist that can meet a runner's needs. And you'll have all the benefits of the give to get strategy, but you'll be getting exactly the people who you want to get. So give out those gift certificates to as many athletes as possible.
Excellent. I wonder if I could throw in my 2 cents on this topic, something that we've done very effectively, especially for those of you out there that are clinic managers and you have associates and you want to help the associates get up and running quickly. I call this tactic act as if you're busy. And the worst thing you can do for an associate is to plunk them in the office, have them sitting there twiddling their thumbs for a couple weeks as they hope that somebody walks in the door. So what you encourage them to do, now everybody has a network. When we start out, we think we have no patients, nobody to contact, but we already have a network. We have friends, we have family, people who want us to do well, people that are influential in the field or in the community. Maybe police officers or your local clergy or politicians or the person that owns the bakery or the local grocery shop. All of these people know us, care about us, want to see us do well in our first in our new profession. As well, they probably don't really understand entirely what we do. They have some idea of what massage is, but they're not entirely sure. So what I encourage is for the first 2 weeks, is to book appointments for at least 20 of these individuals. What you do is you give them a little card. You tell them that I'm in this new location. I'm really excited about starting out, becoming a massage therapist. I want to just have the opportunity to feel comfortable in my space. Would you please come in for a complimentary treatment? Now, of course, very few people turn down a complimentary massage, and so most of those people will come in. Then what I want to recommend is that you treat them as patients. You dress in your proper uniform, take a proper case history, do an assessment, go through everything that you would normally do, because you're forming a perception in their mind, because when they decide if they want to come in again for treatment or if they want to refer, you don't want to show up poorly dressed and casual in your performance, not doing an assessment, because then they think that's what you do with everybody. So make sure you treat them fully and professionally the way you normally would, and then follow up with these people in a couple weeks, find out how their treatment was, find out if they would like to come back in and work on that knot in their shoulder. I have found with my associates that if we do this tactic, and again, we limit it just to 2 weeks, those associates are up and running very quickly because we've taken the time to get them exposed. We build up their confidence because instead of sitting around twiddling their thumbs, they're actually working. So I found that is a very effective way to get up and running. Use the network you already have and act as if you're busy.
Also, sorry, if I can add to that, Don, that's excellent. And really, that's using the give to get strategy with your existing network, which is, you know, something that we take you through in the 60 clients in 60 days program. But use that opportunity too to practice your rebooking skills and your treatment planning skills. And you can be honest about it. You can say, you know what, because I know you, I'm not comfortable with asking people to rebook. So let me just practice on you. You know, here's what I would suggest in terms of treatment. Or you can even say, if you want to blame it on me, you can say, you know, I was listening to this crazy guy named Eric Brown on Massage Therapy Radio, and he suggested that I actually ask people to rebook and actually get practice doing it instead of following up later on down the road. And you'd be surprised at how many of those people will actually convert into ongoing clients.
Very good strategy. Eric, we had quite a response. We've had quite a few people who got the correct answer. I guess I didn't make the question difficult enough, but the winner of the 60 Clients in 60 Days program is Jessica from Fredericton. So I will send you off her email address. You'll be able to contact her and provide her with that program. And I want to thank all the other people,
Jessica,
who send in responses. I'm sorry, Eric?
I just said congratulations, Jessica.
Oh, yes.
That's great.
Now, Eric, you know,
do you want to answer a couple more questions quickly? Since we've already kept people late, should we keep them a few more minutes?
I should have announced a while ago. By the way, we will be going past 30 minutes tonight.
I thought it was an hour.
Well, it certainly has turned out to be. Certainly, let's take one more quick question, then I've got a few house cleaning things to do before we let people go tonight. This one is from Judy in Madison. She says, how do you contact a former client, it's been a year or more since they've been in for a massage, and invite them to return to the practice?
Well, that's a great question. Have you ever had a client who you haven't seen for a while and you think in your mind, I wonder whatever happened to Susan, or I wonder whatever happened to John? You know, we've all found ourselves in that situation where clients seem to drift away and we haven't heard from them. So what I would do is I would write that kind of letter to them. I would write a whatever happened to letter. I call it the whatever happened to letter. Mm. You know, I was just sitting in my office the other day and I was thinking, you know, whatever happened to Susan? You know, I haven't seen you for the longest time. You know, I hope you weren't hope I didn't offend you in the last treatment we did, or didn't do anything to discourage you from coming back. You know, if so, then let me know right away. But otherwise, you know, I'd really like to hear from you, find out how you're doing, and maybe get you back in here again for massage. You know, please give me a call. And then what I would do if you don't hear from Susan is give her a call, and basically go through the same message again. You know, hi Susan. You know, I was thinking about you the other day. I wrote you the letter, and you know, I thought I'd give you a call. I hadn't heard from you, and you know, I was just wondering what happened to you. So I just thought I'd give you a call. And it's a great way to connect with people. It's an honest way to connect with people, and people appreciate it. And you're going to find that if you contact people like that, that again, a significant percentage are going to rebook, because most clients don't stop seeing you because they're dissatisfied with your service. You know, I have statistics on this. I have them in front of me. No, I don't have it in front of me here. But the reality is that most clients don't stop doing business with you because they were dissatisfied with your service. Most of the time, it's just life got in the way. Things got busy and they forgot about you, unfortunately. So just a reminder, gentle reminders like that is a great way to get an old-time client back.
Well, and doesn't that happen too? I know myself, I send out a quarterly newsletter, and people, when they seem to call right the week after I've sent it out and say, you know, I was thinking about you and I should have booked a few months back. So putting things in front of them that prompt them, it's not that they
exactly.
don't want to come in, it's just that they get too busy, isn't it?
Again, it's however well-intentioned they are, things get in the way. So, you know, sending out the newsletter like you do is an excellent idea, just in terms of always staying at the top of their minds.
You
don't let them forget about you.
Fear, too, is that we petrify ourselves thinking, oh, they must not have liked my treatment or whatever. We won't know until we try to contact them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. Eric, I'm going to we've got a number of more questions, but I think we need to honor people the fact that we had only expected them to be 30 minutes, and we've given them an hour worth
of... Oh, no, let's keep them another hour.
Wonderful content. So I'm going to give them a few... leave them with a few things at the end. Again, Eric, I want to thank you, Eric Brown of Bodywork Biz, for being on our show today. You've provided some excellent content to help both from a philosophical point of how to think about your business, but also some very pragmatic approaches of what to do with your business to attract and retain more business as well. For all the people that have sent in questions, if we didn't get to them today, we apologize, but there is one more way to field them. I'd invite you to go to the mtcoach.com website and join the MT Coach community. There you'll be able to...
Can you speak up just a little bit, Don?
Oh, certainly, yes. I like to ask people to join the MT Coach community, and you'll be able to field your questions with other colleagues and get answers to your question. Last week's winner, we weren't able to announce it last week, but Daily Parent of Orangeville, Ontario, won a copy of my book, Better Business Agreements. So, Daily, very good, and we'll be sending that out to you. And finally, I would just like to remind people to tune in next week where we'll be having my accountant on, Robert Magner, to discuss financial issues for massage therapists. You can also catch the replays at the MT Coach website, and we'll be posting them soon to the Massage Therapy Radio website so that you can review them there as well. Again, Eric, thank you, and thank you to all our listeners out there who stayed for the full hour. And this is Don Dillon, and I'd like to say goodnight from Massage Therapy Radio.